Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus says that the Holy Spirit bears witness of Christ, of Him. Jesus also says that the apostles will bear witness of Him. A witness is someone who has seen or heard something and then spoken about it. They haven't heard it from someone else, but they have seen or heard it with their own ears and eyes. Many women had been with Jesus from the beginning, caring for His needs, and had seen Him after the resurrection. So also men had been with Jesus from the beginning, Matthias being one of them, and they had seen Him post-resurrection. Yet none of them were to be His witnesses. Only the apostles were to be His witnesses. First in Jerusalem, then in Judah, in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. They had seen something, and they were to testify to what they had seen. So we believe in the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. Or as St. Paul says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. So the Holy Scriptures is the witness of the apostles. They wrote down what they saw so that we also might believe that Jesus is our God and Savior. But it's more than that. What is the witness of the Holy Spirit? It's not some inner word that you think or that you feel, but the witness of the Holy Spirit is also the Bible. So the witness of the Spirit and the witness of the apostles is one and the same, and they both are testifying to who Jesus of Nazareth is and what He has accomplished. St. Paul says it this way, the mystery had been revealed in these last days to the apostles by the Spirit. The mystery is that Jesus Himself is the seed of the woman promised in Eden, who lived in the place of all men perfectly underneath the law of God, holy and without blemish. The mystery then continues to reveal how Jesus takes on the sins of the world, hangs upon the cross in the place of all men so that all might have life in His name. Not one sin was forgotten, not one shame was overlooked, not one crime was left out. Christ is the atoning sacrifice for all, and on the third day He rose. So we have it better than Moses and those that lived in the Old Testament because we actually know who the true Passover Lamb is and what He has all accomplished. We have it better than King David and the prophets of old, for we know the name of David's son, Jesus. We have it better than men of any other time and age throughout history because we live in the New Testament age where the apostles and the Spirit testify to Jesus of Nazareth as the very Son of God, our Lord and Savior. We have God's Edenic promise fulfilled. In other words, we have the New Testament. So let us treasure this New Testament as the lens through which we read the Old. For within the Old Testament, we see the New hidden. Let us see how Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, is the very heart of the Scriptures, for all promises center in Him. Let us find joy and delight that God taught us how to read, so that we might read His Word for ourselves daily, and rejoice in the goodness of God. Today I would like to ponder what we call the Word of God or the Bible. In these four points, verbal inspiration, the efficacy of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture, and the perspicuity of Scripture. May God grant us grace. First, verbal inspiration. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. As I said, their witness is one and the same. It is the Bible. The Spirit does not work in a vacuum, nor does he simply touch your feelings or your heart, but he works through means. He spoke through the apostles. Their witness has gone out to the ends of the earth, so the Spirit's voice has gone out to the ends of the earth. The scriptures are from the Holy Spirit, and the apostles were nothing more than the instruments that God used to write down his word. They were not in some trance or in ecstatic state as they were recording the scripture, but they wrote willingly, knowingly, and voluntarily. They knew full well what they were doing, and they knew full well it testified of Christ. So the Holy Spirit used their various gifts and vocabulary and talents and abilities in order to record the word so that we might know the very heart of God. The Spirit inspired their minds and their thoughts. So the content and the doctrine is all verbally inspired, but it's more than that. Each word, each syllable, and each letter is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never wastes his breath. It is all from him and all meant for our learning. Verbal inspiration also covers the geography, the history, the genealogies, the technologies, and also the names and places. It is all given by God. There is no error. There is no fault. There is nothing wrong or short-sighted, nothing done in ignorance. In the scriptures, each word is carefully chosen. So why is verbal inspiration important? So that you might be certain that the Bible is God's word, and you might know the very heart of God and the love that he has for you. These are not just stories that men wrote, but they are stories that the Holy Spirit bears witness to. Moving on to the second, the efficacy of Scripture. That means that the Bible is effective, it is potent, and it is powerful. Your own conscience accuses you of sin. But only the law of God can reveal the depths of the depravity of man before God. Your own heart knows that you are not perfect. The good that you want to do, you do not carry out perfectly. You have not been the man or woman that you even desire to be, not to mention what the law of God has to say. So throughout the ages, men have tried to help themselves along through various self-help programs called religion or called something else to try to pacify their conscience before God. But only the scriptures accuse and condemn and show that full depravity that man is. Only the Word of God reveals the depths of our need and how short we can come of attaining salvation on our own. The Word of God's law cuts like no other knife, it kills like no other weapon, it destroys like nothing else. It says, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Therefore, men still die even to this day." The word of God is powerful and effective, and the soul that sins must die. But also, God has another word within the scriptures called the gospel. The gospel raises to a new life. The gospel gives new birth. It equips, it enlivens, it brings hope to the despairing and peace to the sad. The gospel gives you a new heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh that loves the things God loves and desires to do the things God has given. The Bible is not simply some set of information or history that happened a long time ago, but it is a powerful and effective word that changes you from within and creates in you a new and holy life. By giving faith in Christ. The Bible saves you from death. The Bible rescues you from the devil. The Bible delivers you from sin. because it is not simply the word or testimony of the apostles, but it is the witness of the Holy Spirit, and he is the Lord and giver of life, who gives life through these words. So Christ sent the Holy Spirit to testify to him, so that believing in his name you might have life and salvation. So why is the efficacy of Scripture important? Because only the Scriptures lead to salvation and give that salvation. Moving on to the sufficiency of Scripture. This means that the Bible is enough for salvation. It does not contain every detail of history or technology or geography or every name. The purpose is not to relay history, but the purpose is to show how Christ is the culmination of all history. It doesn't even reveal every divine matter, but it reveals the Son of God as the only way to heaven and to the Father. Nothing else needs to be added, for the Bible is enough. Scripture is enough to lead you from this earth and to the next. You see how both of these, the efficacy and sufficiency of Scripture, is built upon verbal inspiration. If these are only the words of men, then the word of a man cannot lead you to heaven. But because it also is the witness of the Spirit, it is enough to give faith and to lead you from this life and the next. There is no special information or secret knowledge that you need to try to find. The Scriptures are enough. So if you have the Bible, you have all that you need. No pastor or denomination is allowed to change it. And if any pastor, denomination, or even an angel of heaven were to teach something contrary to what is written in the Word of God, well, as St. Paul says, let him be eternally condemned. But lest you think that means that you can just sit at home and read the Bible for yourself, recall how the Bible points you to baptism, to communion, to the office of the ministry, and to the gathering of Christians. The Bible is not just a set of information, but it leads you to where Christ is present so that you might continually receive his gifts. So why is the sufficiency of Scripture important? Because it alone leads to your salvation, and that is enough. Lastly, the perspicuity of Scripture. This means that the Bible is clear. Men do not need to illuminate the Bible. The Bible illuminates men because it is the testimony of the Holy Spirit who gives light to the darkness. The apostles did not grab the Holy Spirit and force him to write what they wanted, but he inspired them. And through that word, he still inspires and leads us today. He makes these words clear for us. The Bible is not a difficult book to understand. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This does not set you up as the sole interpreter of Scripture any more than Luther or Augustine or Ambrose are the sole interpreters of Scripture. But as we say, Scripture must interpret Scripture. So we can't just grab one passage out of its context, but we must understand the fullness of the context in Scripture. Think of how you read novels, especially a novel series. You begin to think like the author and understand how he uses words and ideas and stories to develop his plots and characters. So also, the more you understand the Scriptures, the more you see how the Spirit uses words and ideas and languages to develop the teaching of Christ. You begin to think like the Spirit. You see how he uses those words as well. Yes, some passages of Scripture are more difficult than others, but no point of doctrine hinges on those passages. Each finds its clear seat in the clearness of Scripture. So God gives the clear passages to comfort the hungry, while God gives the harder passages to prevent loathing among us, lest we view the Bible as merely a child's document. All of it is centered on Christ so that he might be clearly revealed as the Lord and Savior of men. So why is this perspicuity of Scripture important? To keep men from inserting their own desires and dreams. And so the witness of the Holy Spirit and the witness of the apostles remains to this day. Carried along by the Holy Spirit, these men wrote what they heard and saw. They are eyewitnesses of Christ and his majesty. The Holy Spirit is Christ's witness as well. Infused with clarity and power, the Scriptures are enough for us and for our salvation, for they testify of Christ. We need nothing more, for they preach Christ and Christ crucified to a dying world so that life might be given once more. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our hope and our joy. And we eagerly await for his return by listening to the witness of the Spirit and the apostles. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.